careful attention now to God's word, 1 Samuel chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, that's Saul's head, and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys that you went to seek are found. And now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is anxious about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on from their father and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. After that you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do." When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And a man of the place answered, "And who was their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To seek the donkeys." And when we saw that they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." And Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. But about the matter of the kingdom, of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything." And then our text this morning. Now Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and he said to the people of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, 'I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you have rejected your God, who saved you from all your calamities and your distresses, and you have said to him, "Set a king over us." Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot. And Saul the son of Kish was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, "Is there a man still to come?" And the Lord said, "Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage." Then they ran and took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And so Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book and laid it up before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah, and with him went men of valor whose hearts God had touched. But some worthless fellows said, "How can this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no present, but he held his peace. So far God's word. I invite you to keep his word open as we make our way through this passage together this morning. But first of all, let's pray. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for your word before us this morning. May we never, ever take it for granted. Holy Spirit, this morning we pray, work in our hearts. Take your word, mold us, shape us with your word. We pray this through the work of Jesus Christ, and God's people say together, Amen. Well, there are a number of times in our lives that we like to be independent, that we especially like to be independent. The first time comes around the age of 3. For some parents, it comes a little bit before 3. But the 3-year-old who wants to dress themselves, who knows everything and wants to feed themselves and do it all on their own. The next significant time is when you're a teenager. When you think you know it all. When you don't need your parents and you can't wait to get out of home and do your own thing. Well, I can't remember the age of 3. If you ask my mother, I'm sure she'll tell you that there was a time at 3 that I wanted to be very independent. But I certainly remember being a teenager. And I can remember wanting to go to university. I managed to choose a university that was farther away from my parents at the time, the University of Otago. But it didn't take long for me to realise that I wasn't all that independent. I still needed my parents. And yes, I needed them for more than just simply finance. I found that I still needed their advice. I needed their friendship. I needed their love. And for a short time before I got married, I needed again the roof, their roof over my head, because it was so much cheaper to live in their house rather than have to pay rent myself. Well, I thought I was independent. I wasn't really. I needed my mum. I needed my dad. And that's a lesson that the people of Israel needed to learn here in our chapter. That's a lesson that the people of Israel, hearing the book of 1 Samuel for the first time, also needed to be reminded. The people of Israel were like that 3-year-old child, or like that teenager. They wanted a king. They wanted a king now. They wanted to be free. They wanted to be independent. Despite Samuel warning them, they still wanted to go their own way. Last week we saw Saul called by God, that he was anointed by God, that he received God's Holy Spirit, that we too are called by God, that we are anointed by him to serve him in his kingdom, that he gives us his word as a direction for our life. Well, this morning we're going to see, as the people of Israel, we're reminded that God, they still needed God. That God provides for his people. That's the main idea this morning. God provides for his people. We need to depend on him. And our first point this morning is that God provides grace. God provides grace. Now, boys and girls, what are some of the qualities of a hero? Someone who's a hero. Can someone tell me, what are some of the things that a hero does? What does a hero do? What are some qualities of a hero? Can someone tell me? He does dangerous things, yes, so he's very brave. What else?
Very strong.
Very strong, absolutely. Does a hero give up?
No.
No, a hero never gives up, do they? They keep on going. They never give up. And here in our passage, God doesn't give up either. God begins by speaking to the people of Israel through Samuel in verse 18 of our passage. Thus says the Lord God, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt. I delivered you from the hand of Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. God again is reminding, here he goes again, reminding the people of Israel. He reminds them of the grace that he has given them. Just as Samuel did, you have God as king. Why would you want anyone else? Look what God has done for you. And how do the people respond to God's grace? Verse 19, but today you have rejected your God who saves you from all your calamities and your distresses and have said to him, set a king over us. Again, God reminds his people what I've done for you. And how do they respond? They respond by rejecting him. And at this time, you'd expect God to bring his judgment, bring his punishment against the people of Israel. They rejected him. They turned away from him. They want to go their own way. And God should punish them, shouldn't he? Except he doesn't. He doesn't. God doesn't give them what they deserve. They deserve punishment, but they receive grace. He listens to them. He provides them with a king. He continues to provide his grace. You see, God doesn't give up on his people. And it's like that for us, brothers and sisters. What would we get if we got what we deserved? If we got what we deserved, we would deserve the full force of God's anger against us. We would deserve eternal punishment, but God doesn't give that to us. Instead, he gives us his grace. His grace through his Son who came down to earth, who died for us. God doesn't give us what we deserve. And he continues to do that with us. Because we still sin, we still go our own way, we still walk our own path. But God patiently deals with us. He doesn't give up on us. He disciplines us, yes, but he never, ever rejects us. And when we come back to him after we've walked away from him, when we come to him with our sins, he welcomes us every single time with open arms. What grace is. Undeserved favor. Not giving us what we deserve. So what are you doing with the grace that God has given you? Is there some area of your life where you were saying, where you were rebelling, where you were rejecting, turning away from God? When you were saying, my way, I want to be king of my own area of this life, of my life? Is there some area of your life where God is working away at you, convicting you, challenging you? How are you responding to his grace, his patience, his not giving up on you? Are you continuing to walk your own way? Are you humbly coming to him? Asking him for his help, thanking him for his grace, leaning and relying, clinging to his grace. God doesn't give us what we deserve. Rather, he provides us his grace. And he continues to do so in our second point this morning. Our second point is God provides for a dependent people. The people of Israel were thinking, finally the time has come here, we're going to get our own king. But notice this whole process here. They still remain dependent on God. It's Samuel, not the people, who get to choose the king or God through Samuel. Tribe by tribe, the people of Israel come near. The tribe of Benjamin is taken by Lot. The clan of the Matrites taken by Lot. And finally, Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by Lot. But Saul can't be found. Maybe they went and had a boy's look. You know what a boy's look is? You know, they go and look for something, and they go and look in the cupboard, they can't find it, and then a girl comes along and says, well, there it is. Maybe they had a girl's look. A little bit more thorough, perhaps. But still, they couldn't find Saul. No, they remained completely dependent on God. They needed God's supernatural intervention to find their king. Where is Saul? The Lord said, verse 22, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. Now, it's easy to speculate here. Has Saul lost his confidence? Is he shy? Is he being humble? Our text doesn't actually deal with this here. But what it does show is that God is in control of this whole process. The people of Israel don't have freedom. They are still reliant upon God to help and guide them. So the people run, we read in verse 23, and go and get Saul. And they're pretty happy, they're pretty pleased with God's choice for them. He stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. Here was a leader. A man who at least, looked the part. But notice what Samuel says there in verse 24, driving the lesson home. And Samuel said to the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people. God has given you your king. The people still needed God. Saul needed God and his help. And time again, as the history of the nation of Israel unfolds, we're going to see that the people of Israel continued to remain dependent upon God. And when they tried to go their own way, that's when they got themselves into trouble. And so it is with us. We continue in our lives to need God's help. We need God's help, first of all, to become right with him through Jesus Christ. We need the continued help of the Holy Spirit, of who we've sung about this morning as well, to help us grow in Jesus Christ, to depend upon him. So a question to you this morning. How dependent are you on your God? Or another way I can rephrase this question: how is your walk with your God? How close is God to you? Do you feel in your Christian life that you are coming closer and closer to him? Or are you walking apart, further apart? If God is feeling more and more distant from you, does that bother you? Is that something that worries you? That God is feeling farther and farther away? And if it doesn't bother you, why doesn't it bother you? But if your walk is getting closer and closer to him, then praise God. Continue to depend on him, lean on him, rely on him, and encourage others to do the same. Call those who are wandering farther away and draw them closer, that they too will be dependent on their Saviour, dependent on their God. God provides grace here for the people of Israel. He provides grace for a dependent people just as he provides it for us through his Holy Spirit. And he also provides for us through his law, as the Holy Spirit presses his law against our hearts. And that brings us to our third point this morning. Our third point is God provides his law. In verse 25, we read that Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book and laid it up before the Lord. What did Samuel write in that book? Well, we don't know for certain, but we're pretty sure that it included some of the words of Deuteronomy 17. And I invite you to turn there with me now. Deuteronomy chapter 17. If you have one of the church Bibles, you'll find that on page 161. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. And here we have, so the people of Israel at this time are in the desert. And God is looking forward to the time that they will have a king, and he provides them with these guidelines. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? You may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as a king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them. That his heart may not be lifted up among his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. Those were the requirements of the king. The idea here was to protect the people from the abuses of the office of kingship. To keep the king on the straight and narrow. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but as you read those verses, just think about King Solomon. Where did he go wrong? What did our passage say? Don't collect horses. What did Solomon do? Don't collect too much wealth and money for yourself, or you'll be led astray. The idea here was to keep the kings on the straight and narrow, as the law continues to do for us today. The law is meant to be a mirror for us to examine ourselves, to look at and say, how do we live in the light of that law? So do you see God's law still as relevant to you and your life? Or do you think that's just something that God provided for the people of Israel, the Ten Commandments for them in the desert? Or do you think as Jesus did and say that they are still relevant for us today? Do you see your life as living in obedience to God's will, his law for your life? And that's not just the Ten Commandments. It's his entire word that he's given to us as a gift. One of the things that defines a relationship is how love is shown in it. And how did Jesus say we should love him? Jason read it for us earlier. If you love me, Jesus said, you will do what? What will you do, boys and girls, if you love Jesus? What did we read? You will do what? Tell me. A few elbows going in there, but children aren't responding. Someone from the slightly more older audience. If we love Jesus, we will do what? Obey his commandments. That's what we read, isn't it? So are you living your life that way? Are you taking his law and using it, his word, as a way of living before him? Seeking to obey him. Showing your love for him. As a way of thanking him for his grace shown to you. We've seen God's grace being provided God providing for a people who are dependent upon him. God providing his law. And then Samuel sends the people home. Or the people go home, each to their own home at the end of verse 25. But not everyone is happy with God's choice. And that brings us to our fourth and final point this morning. God's provision brings division. God's provision brings division. Not everyone is happy. Verse 27. Some worthless fellows said, "How can this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no present. But Saul held his peace. It reminds us, as we hear those words, of another king that God provided. A king provided to the people of Israel. A king that was rejected by the people of Israel, who should have known better. And brothers and sisters, that king is our king. A king who was beaten, mocked, spat at, had a robe put on him, a crown of thorns. And how did that king respond? He held his peace. He held his peace. He held his peace as he hung on that cross, dying. Dying as he came to provide the price for us. To this day, brothers and sisters, friends, the message of what Jesus came to do, the message of the free offer of the gospel to anyone who believes, the message of forgiveness of sins, is still a message that divides. The offer of the gospel is to be proclaimed loud and wide, but that proclaiming of the gospel divides people. You can either accept it or you can reject it. There is no in between. There's no sitting on the fence. So where are you this morning? Where are you in relation to that offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the offer of forgiveness of sins? Have you accepted it? Or are you rejecting it? Have you bowed the knee before the King, Jesus Christ? If you have bowed the knee before him, if you have accepted him as your King, then you are called this morning to proclaim that message, to bring that message of hope to a world that so desperately needs that hope. The provision of a Savior. Knowing that as we proclaim this message, yes, it is going to divide, and we don't go out deliberately seeking to offend. But we do know that people will reject it. But we can still continue to go out and bring the gospel to people, because we can know, as Jesus said, people are not rejecting us, they are rejecting him. We're called to bring out the gospel, the message of hope, in this light, in this matter, brothers and sisters, we are not called to hold our peace. Let's draw things to a close here this morning. Brothers and sisters, we serve a God who provides for us. A God who gives us everything we need. A God who gives us his grace. A God who has not treated us as we deserve. How are we going to respond to him this morning? Are there areas of your life that you are not allowing God's grace in? Are you seeking to become more and more dependent on him? Excuse me. Two minutes too long. How are we receiving God's grace this morning? Are we thankful to him because he has not treated us as we deserve? How are we responding to his grace? Are there some areas of your life that you are saying no, that you are not allowing God's grace in? Are you leaning on him? Are you depending on him? Are you using what he's provided for you, his law, his word, as a rule and guide for your life? Are you proclaiming that message to others? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you this morning for your provision for us. We praise you for your grace given to us when we are so undeserving. We thank you that you have not treated us as we deserve. We thank you for giving us your grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to continue to be dependent upon you, to live our lives leaning on you, relying on your Holy Spirit to help us as we go through life. Forgive us, Lord, for our want of independence. Work in our hearts in those areas in our life we were stubbornly clinging on to that we want to remain independent. Give us a love for your law, for your word for us. May we see it, embrace it as our guide for life. And help us, Heavenly Father, to bring that message out to the world, the message of the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We praise you that you provide us with everything we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 463 in the Old Psalter hymnal reminds us of our dependence upon God as he leads us through our life. Let's stand and sing the words of number 463, after which I'd invite you to remain standing for the blessing.